I have an emergency. What is your location?
Because there's a war for your soul.
Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the war. And thank you for the end of the war. That our warfare is ended, Lord God, because you have the victory. You have defeated the devil. And Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged, each one today who's going through tribulation, because that's what's going on. Even as we're being refined and purified in the name of Jesus Christ, to be made into his image, Lord God, the enemy has raised the heat, increased the heat and pressure on our lives. So let us know that we will not be tested or tempted above, that you're able to keep us. But with every temptation, you make a way of escape, that we're able to bear it. And we thank you, Lord, as we look today at this lesson, how Jesus had to bear the mockery and the scoffing and the humiliation and the hatred and the contempt and the rejection in order to preserve and prevail in his quest of our eternal life. Lord God, we thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. We thank you, Lord, you took the hits. You stood in our place. You took your place on death row to set us free. And I thank you for doing that. I thank you that you did not cave. You didn't turn around. You didn't become a coward. You went right forward. And I praise you and thank you that you did it with absolutely the right attitude, with humility, with courage, with confidence, and trusting that your Heavenly Father would be good for his word, that he would keep his word to honor your death and the sacrifice, the shedding of your blood for the ransom of our souls. And I thank you, Lord God, for the justification that came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, now that you give us the eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart to understand, comprehend, and appreciate what you have done for us. Protect us, Lord, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that no word said, no deed done, no action taken will be able to defeat us, discourage us, or take us away from the love of God. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 27 and verses 1 through 54, it's an account of probably the most precious and perverted situation that we have in really all throughout human history. It's interesting that in just a few short days, the cries of Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, glory to the Son of God, the Son of Man, turned into cries of crucify him, crucify him. And so we'll start at verse 37. Mm-hmm. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Well, that's the truth, but they saw it as an accusation.
Yeah, mockery.
Mocking him. Mm-hmm. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, cursed him, wagging their heads, saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
Now, these crosses, they were positioned along that road that went right into Jerusalem. So
there was lots
all
of
kinds
them.
Of
there
people.
There were lots of them. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just lined up. The crosses were just lined up along that road. I think it was Rome was trying to teach everybody a lesson. Behave yourself or this is going to happen to you. So they were watching, looking, and making comments as they were passing.
Yeah, them. Really along there, it was execution row, mm-hmm. crucifixion row. And the likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him."
Yeah, now, so they're standing there too around the cross.
Yeah, they're standing there around the cross and they said, you know, if you're the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And then it says, they said, "He saved others, but himself he cannot save." Well, Jesus truly did save others. He saved a crooked tax collector named Nicodemus.
Yeah, Nicodemus.
Well, I think he saved Nicodemus too later on. He saved Mary Magdalene, setting her free from seven demons. He saved the demoniac of Gadara, setting him free from the legion of demons. He saved a woman caught in the act of adultery. He saved blind Bartimaeus and gave him his sight. He saved the woman who was hopelessly bleeding to death. He immediately...
He saved the woman at the well.
The woman at the well.
And the guy at the pool of Bethesda.
Yeah, and he immediately healed a man full of leprosy. He raised Lazarus after he'd been dead for 4 days. So he'd been doing a lot of saving, right?
Healing, saving, delivering. And
they said,
yeah.
But the mocking was that, you know, come down from the cross, prove it. They're always looking for a sign.
Yeah.
You know, the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews look for a sign.
And they were always pressuring him. Well, give us a
show
sign,
us a sign, and we'll believe. Well, he said, there's no sign that's going to be given you except the sign of
Jonah the prophet.
Three days and three nights in the
belly of the whale.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the sign. And the sign of his death and his descending into hell, and then, of course, the resurrection. But they're just mocking him. They're just saying, you know, oh, man, this is the great king. You claim to be the great king of the Jews. Here you are dying a death that's reserved for the lowest, the very lowest of criminals, people that were considered the scum of the earth. That's how they were punished.
And here you're ending up with what you rightfully deserved. According to them, that's what they're going to, they're judging him, that this is what he had coming, and they're so glad. This is their finest hour, really.
Yeah. I mean, well, he said, and you want to read that in Luke chapter... 22, verse 53.
Oh, yeah. He says, let's see.
This is your hour.
And the hour of darkness.
And the power of darkness. So he knew that this was coming up when the mob was rising up against him. This is your hour and the power of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that he couldn't come down from the cross. It's that he wouldn't come down.
He could not because he would not.
And Jesus is not about saving himself. He's not about self-preservation.
No, because he wasn't lost. He was never lost.
Yeah. He's there to give himself. Not to save himself, so he could save us. So, you know, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life
a ransom for many. Yeah,
so,
that's exactly what he came to do. And they missed it. They pretty much, they were blind. Their eyes were blind. They truly missed the day of their salvation. Even when he was heading to the cross and he was weeping over Jerusalem, he said, you've missed it. You guys have totally missed it. What I came to visit you, and now it's not, you know, he knew that they were going to miss it. He wasn't shocked.
It's amazing, though, that when you think of God's way of redemption is having his only son die the most despicable death imaginable.
But that is the reason for that is not because God doesn't have any other things that he can think of except how to kill his son. The point is that there was a problem, and the problem was that mankind had been tricked into believing the lies that gave our power, authority, and life over to Satan because we listened to him. And so now we were his slaves. So Jesus is not coming. He's not coming for someone who's depraved. We became enslaved. He had to pay the price because the Bible says the soul that sins shall die. And so Satan says, they sin, therefore they die. I'm going to kill them. And so there had to be a ransom. There had to be a way out. And the only way out was for somebody to die. And there was no one left to die except God himself.
And Jesus would not come down from the cross because he came to earth for the cross.
Yeah, and that was because he had to pay that price. The wages of sin is death. Death demanded that we, and sin demanded, I should say, that we die. And so Jesus was paying the demands, the ransom, as you said, of the demands of death.
And to bring us deliverance from the lies of Satan and Satan himself. And so that deliverance doesn't come from Jesus getting off the cross. It comes from Jesus staying on the cross.
And it doesn't even come from Jesus coming and teaching us about heaven. It doesn't come from Jesus healing people. It didn't come from Jesus casting out demons. It came from the actual final act and the full purpose to which he came to the earth, and that was to die as the sacrifice, Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world for the sins of men.
The sacrifice, the final sacrifice, the crucifixion of Jesus is basically
a sacrifice.
The central moment of all time and eternity.
It's a human sacrifice.
In the redemptive and perfect redemptive plan that God had to set us free.
It was a difficult plan. And there was, Jesus really didn't have to do it. He was already fine, secure in heaven. It said he laid aside all of his glory in heaven to come down here to be mocked and spit on and scoffed by his creatures. That he was actually the one giving them the breath that they used to curse him. He was actually the one that had given them the food and the water to give them the strength and energy to nail the nails in his hands. He was the one. How foolish, how blind can we be to miss this incredible drama that's going on and just be so linear and superficial in the way we see things. It's just terrifying how shallow people are.
Yeah, and to realize that while Jesus was dying, death was dying. And while the people were cursing him, Marjorie, he was breaking the curse of sin over
and
us.
And death.
And while Satan was dishing out his worst, God was giving the world his very best.
Yeah, it says, and I remember last time we talked about this really briefly in Hebrews, where he said that he became a partaker of flesh and blood. He had to become a human to die for humans because humans were the ones who had sinned, so it had to be an eye for an eye, according to the devil. And so he himself likewise shared in our weaknesses, our flesh and blood humanity, that through his death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So everybody down here knows, though we don't want to think about it, that we're going to have to die. We're going to have to render and give an account of our life. And so Jesus is taking away the fear and the sting of death for those who follow him, because we don't have to stay dead forever.
And when you think of it, Marjorie, the shame and the guilt of all the crimes of the human race were laid upon him. He bore our griefs.
He
carried
had to.
Our sorrows.
Every sickness, every weakness, every infirmity,
every lie,
every vile act, every spiritual perverted act, crime, sin committed against human beings. He carried the pain and brought the justification, the redemption, the healing for all of it. It says, by his stripes were healed. Just by, even by the fact that he was scourged, that in itself was enough to bring healing.
Bring healing to us. And you think of it, Marjorie, a totally sinless man, Jesus Christ,
the only one.
God-man, mm-hmm. the only one qualified to bear our sins, mm-hmm. and so that the unrighteous, the righteous, the most righteous of all, took
Looked
on
like.
All our righteousness. So
he became sin for us.
Took on all our unrighteousness so we who are unrighteous could be made righteous.
Right.
Did you get that?
and it's very hard to, it's almost shocking how incredibly awesome this is and how little we make of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we hear this story, and I don't even know if a lot of people hear this story anymore about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection and all this. I don't even know, because it's been so slimed and slammed with, fake this and artificial that and phony heroes and media and all kinds of things. But the thing is, no one seems to really be awestruck or appreciate the love of God, the power of God, the work that was done on the cross. They just, it's kind of like we'll go to church, we'll, do this, but now we're going to go find our Easter eggs, or we're going to go, what are we going to do? We're going to do something to take our minds off of Satan. Just wants to take your mind off of the power of this love, this act of love, the shedding of Jesus' blood, the sacrifice, Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world.
Now, what about us? I mean, for God the Father made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, mm-hmm. that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So,
God,
what about us, though? What about
him?
Us, though? I mean, Christ's obedience took him to the cross. Mm-hmm. And our obedience will take us to the cross, too.
Many crosses. Actually, many crosses. Every day I think we can get crucified on the cross of offense. Every day we can pick up, injustices, bitterness, atrocities, sins committed against the law of love regarding us, and people who reject us, deprive us, defraud us, use us, set us up, abuse us. And so we have a chance to die with Christ, die daily. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life of God who lives in me. And then he says, how does it say? We're delivered to death every day, sheep to the slaughter.
Like a sheep to the slaughter. And he said in Mark 8:34 and 35, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, interesting that we're not here on earth to save ourselves, satisfy ourselves, assert ourselves, defend ourselves, affirm ourselves, get in touch with ourselves, serve ourselves, or find ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're here to deny ourselves
and take up our cross and follow Jesus.
Now, that doesn't mean that we live some kind of ascetic, A-S-C-E-T-I-C, like monks or something, where we flagellate ourselves or, you know, beat ourselves up and deny ourselves every possible comfort. But it means that we are here to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're here to please him. And what happens right now is that at least you look around us, you even look around at the church. One of the curses of the contemporary church is that we want our life without the cross.
Yeah.
The cross was okay for Jesus, but not for us. We want all the perks of the cross without the pain of the cross for us.
You know, honestly,
we want all the amenities without the agonies. We want to come and dine with Jesus, but we don't want to come and die with him.
Yeah, I almost don't even think we're there anymore. I think we're further past. I don't think we care about it. I don't give it a rip. I've got my this, I've got my that, I've got my vacation, I've got my life planned. I really believe we've drifted super far away from even feeling interested in Jesus Christ or the cross. I mean, really, there's some that will, you know, that pursue him.
When Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself, you're going to take up your cross and follow me. Now, here's what my understanding is, that we have the depiction of Jesus carrying the whole cross, the upright and the vertical and the horizontal. Very likely he was probably just carrying the cross beam. And basically what was happening back in those days in that culture at that particular period in history, when they saw someone with a group of soldiers and they're marching this guy down the road with that cross beam on his back, they knew, here's a guy that's not coming back.
Well, and
it's a one-way trip. And that's the thing it is with us, is that it's a one-way deal. That we sing that little chorus, so I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And so it's basically a one-way trip. I mean, Jesus said in Luke 9:62, he said, no one having has put his hand to the plow and looking back
is fit
for the kingdom of God.
Well, I think what you're saying about looking back, I think if people come to Jesus because they're afraid of going to hell and they make some sort of a peace deal with him so that they don't go to hell and they go to heaven, that's not really the reason that'll hold you when it gets when things get really tough. Because when things get really scary and you only came to Jesus because you were scared you're going to go to hell, the devil can also frighten you to turn you back from following Jesus with all kinds of anxiety and fear and circumstances, situations, threats, bullying, blackmailing. That's what he's doing to everybody nowadays, blackmailing, bullying. And so you have to have a confident assurance that you're not following Jesus because you don't want to go to hell. You're following Jesus because you love him and
you realize his love for you.
Well, and you realize who you are, that you were created by God to love him and know who you are, know that you're loved, love the truth. And so these are the only things that will hold us in these last days.
And sometimes we've misinterpreted our cross to say, our cross, well, if I get some sickness and the devil's imposing something on me, I'm accepting this as my cross to bear. And attacks from the enemy like that can be part of suffering. God wants to bring victory. But sometimes we look at we put up with miseries that we shouldn't put up with.
Right, exactly.
And we interpret that as part of our cross. I remember many years ago, a dear friend of ours, when we were just brand new in the Lord, he said, you know what the cross is? He says, is when God's will crosses your will and you choose to do the will of God.
Right.
I like that definition. That
well,
helps
and,
me.
And that's what the cross really means is I'm dying to my own self. You know, deny himself, take up his cross, follow Jesus. Deny yourself, that spirit that wants me to make myself or self my idol and get me to worship, practice idolatry and putting myself first. But I cannot save myself. I cannot make my world do what I want it to do. The only, and I'm in a world I don't like. And so our temptation is to fix this world. This world cannot be fixed. We're not here to fix this world. We're here to triumph victoriously, overcome the temptations, the torments, the trials, the accusations, the things that Satan is trying to do to undo us. We're here to prevail by believing and surviving and overcoming and stepping into an abundant life. Jesus, when they were scoffing at him and when they were ridiculing him and when they were rebuking him and plucking out his beard, he did not take any of it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to understand. Why didn't he take the whipping, the beating, the words, the tongue lashing, the mockery, the laughter? Why didn't he take any of that and become offended? Why didn't he take it personal? Because he knew absolutely who he was and
absolutely
what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the devil was stirring up the people to mock and cut off their revelation that Jesus Christ was dying for them. Satan was only trying to distract them with the horror of the death and the blood and the cruelty by getting them to respond with laughter and mockery instead of falling on their faces and asking for repentance and forgiveness.
And Jesus on the cross, it forms the dividing line between the saved and the lost.
That's right.
And we have a choice to make.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead,
you
shall be saved.
Yeah. If you believe he died on the cross for your sins, it's like this. Jesus paid the price. He bought tons and tons and tons of golden tickets called the salvation ticket. Mm-hmm. And they're free to whosoever wants one. If you want one, he says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. You will, you know, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was the substitute for your death. He died in your place. He went to the executioner's block for you. If you believe that and you receive that, you're in. But if you reject and say, no, that wasn't even necessary. I don't even believe in that stuff. Then you're on your own. And, you know, in the last days when we're going to give an account of ourselves, your name is either written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it is not. And all those, you know, who are seated with Christ in heavenly places, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are there because they have accepted, they have humbled themselves enough to accept the gift of salvation through the death of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and just think of all those, the maddened, demonized mob.
Mm-hmm.
Religious mob for the most part that was crying out, you know, crucify him and saying, okay, if you're really the Christ, come down from the cross.
Mockery. Just
prove
mockery.
It. Prove it. Mocking. Mm-hmm. And but the proof that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the Son of God,
is
the King of Israel.
Is that he didn't come down from the cross.
That he did not come down from the cross.
Exactly.
But he came up from the grave.
There you go. There you go.
Ooh,
I'm
going to
come down from the cross and come up from the grave and do what you will with that.
That's the proof.
Mm-hmm.
That's the proof.
Mm-hmm.
And even after he was raised from the dead, many believed, many did not.
Even to this day.
Same today.
The same options are here today, exactly as were presented to that first group of believers, non-believers, people who were on the earth that day when they saw Jesus Christ crucified, when they walked past that cross. That same option, believe it or reject it, is for with us today.
I want to close today by reading Romans 1, verses 4 through 6 in the Amplified Bible. And as to his divine nature, according to the spirit of holiness, was openly designated the Son of God in his power. Okay? As to his divine nature, according to the spirit of holiness, as it was openly designated the Son of God in power, in striking triumphant manner by his resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One, it is through him that we have received grace, unmerited favor, and our apostleship to promote obedience to the faith and make disciples for his namesake among all the nations. And this includes you, called of Jesus Christ, invited as you are to belong to him. So the proof positive that he is who he says he is. He's the Son of God, the light of the world, the King of Israel, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Everything that he said about himself, mm-hmm. it was proven,
right.
Affirmed beyond question,
mm-hmm. and the
when
truth,
he was raised from the dead.
And the truth, just wait a while. You think that you know the truth because you're looking at something. Wait until you see it truly and fully revealed. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He fully, truly revealed the whole process, the whole plan of redemption when he rose from the dead. And so, Father, we say thank you so much as you have shown us for your love through your obedience in the things that you suffered to set us free.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, that you're alive. You came to us, you lived, you taught, you died, you didn't stay dead, you rose again, and you're alive forevermore. You have the keys of hell and death. And Lord God, you rose up from the grave, you arose mm-hmm. with a mighty triumph over your foes. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can triumph because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in the heart and the life of every believer. And so, Lord God, help us to live in the victory of the cross mm-hmm. and the resurrection.
Amen.
To bring life and hope. Let us not be afraid mm. of denying ourselves, but let us persist in following you. Though Satan rages and attacks, we're just going to keep following no matter what it costs.
Thank you.
Because
Lord.
Other people are going to be coming into the kingdom because we've obeyed you, Lord.
And you've obeyed God, the
yeah.
Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask you and invite you to join us at liferecovery.com. Check out some of the things we have that would be helpful and encouraging. What we're offering is God on Trial. It's the drama, dramatization, the radio drama. And the last several episodes talk about dramatize the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So episodes 24, 5, 6, and 7, and 8 probably. Check it out, MP3s. You'll be blessed. God bless you.
I have an emergency. What is your location?
Rescue Radio, because there's a war for your soul.